What's up, everyone, and welcome back to another edition of Ride in the Pine. Jack Ride and I are back with you all today, and as always, we have another amazing episode in store for everyone at home. But before I get into all of that, as always, let's take a little dive into the last episode. We continued on our coverage for the Red Flash men's basketball program, as in last episode, I was joined by Brad McCabe. Brad and I got into his career starting out as a walk-on for the Red Flash and what it meant to him ultimately earning a scholarship for St. Francis, his outlook into this upcoming season, and also talking a little bit about some highlight reel dunks that he's had in his career at St. Francis and so much more. So if you want to go check out that episode and hear a little bit about Brad's career, go check out episode 264 and all 264 episodes that are out now on all podcast platforms. Now, getting into today, we're going to wrap up our Red Flash coverage with a fantastic guest, an assistant men's basketball coach for St. Francis, Coach Luke McConnell. Coach McConnell and I get into his career starting out as a football player for the Red Flash and what ultimately led him to wanting to get into coaching, what led him to wanting to get into coaching in the basketball world as opposed to the football world, how much basketball has meant to him as well as his family, what it's been like for him to coach at the same school that his dad was once the head coach of, and so much more. So if you want to hear about Coach Luke McConnell's unique journey to St. Francis and about the St. Francis men's basketball program, as always, don't go anywhere, folks, because here comes Coach Luke McConnell. So with that, folks, let's make our way into our show for today. So as always, be sure to find your favorite seat here on the bench with me. Sit back, relax, and enjoy the show. And I'm here with current assistant coach for the St. Francis men's basketball team, Coach Luke McConnell. Coach, great to get you on the show today, my friend. How's it going?
Good, going well. Just caught us on an off day here, just prepping for I can't believe we're already 25 practices in, preseason's going well, and just getting ready for that final stretch, getting ready for that first game.
Yeah, first game is, what, a week away? I mean, that's very exciting. We're, again, recording this on October 31st, so happy Halloween. But I want to get into just, you know, opening night, season opener against St. Bonaventure. I'm sure there's been a lot of talk, but guys have been going over the scout and whatnot. What's kind of been the preparation for that and just the overall scout for St. Bonaventure?
Yeah, it's been, you know, really when we talk about it, we really want to focus on us. We have a lot of great returners, but we also have an influx of freshmen coming in as well. So getting those guys together in the summer and then building those relationships and then coming together now preseason practice and really trying to build that culture, build that identity as a group has really been our focus. And then now we'll turn our attention to, you know, when we start prepping for St. Bonaventure, what a historically great program. And Coach Smith is one of the best coaches in the country. So it's going to be an unbelievable challenge and a really talented team. And but we're looking forward to the challenge for sure.
Well, I'm glad you mentioned the aspect of a lot of the new guys and some of the younger guys that have been coming in. What's it been like just getting them immersed with this older, more veteran group of players that you have at St. Francis? And how have you noticed the freshmen being able to adjust to college basketball?
You know, I think they've been fantastic. And you think, you know, when freshmen come in, they're going to be maybe weighed in the back a little bit or, you know, and I think it's been a great marriage of the older guys having a voice and the younger guys having a voice, not being afraid and talking, having that healthy communication. You know, we talk about family and, you know, a lot of people use that word family, but you know, family is, you know, you tell each other the truth and you're honest with each other and you hold each other accountable. So, you know, you don't let things slide. And so for those guys to have a voice around that circle and be able to talk, it's been exciting to see leadership from the older guys. And but also leadership comes in different forms and coming from the younger guys as well.
Would you say that there's been almost an increase of leadership that you've noticed on this year's team as opposed to maybe other seasons and maybe even last year's season?
Yeah, we've had great leadership throughout the years here. I've been at St. Francis for a while now, and I think you see a different progression of maybe, you know, younger guys wait and then they say their voice. But we really wanted to build up where we wanted everybody to have a voice and to talk and to grow into those roles. And you don't have to wait. And, you know, if you see something, like, hold each other accountable. It's not just one guy's responsibility. And I think there's an old quote or something, but leadership is a choice. It's not, you're not just a leader because you're a senior or you've been here for 2 years or whatever. You know, it's a choice every day. You know, you're sacrificing for others. You're putting yourself out there first. for others? So are you jumping first into drills? Are you talking to your teammates? And we talk about being, bringing people together. So are you talking to people in a way that's going to bring people together and reach that common goal that we're talking about? So it's come from different ways. It's something that we stress, and it's also a credit to those younger guys, not being afraid and doing that as well.
And I think that is the biggest key of it all, right? Because you have those younger guys that come in 17, 18 years old. They're coming from their high schools where they were maybe the number one option, maybe the number two option. And, you know, the first 3 weeks of college hoops, you kind of get humbled a little bit. And for them to be able to kind of accept that challenge and be aware that, hey, we have these other guys at St. Francis that have been around the block for a few years and they're willing to listen. I think, again, that just eases probably everything on your all's end for coaches, just not having to worry about that stuff. But, Coach, I want to get into your career. I know that you've had an extensive career in basketball, but you're actually a football player. And I know you've got a big basketball background in your family. We'll get into that in a little bit, but you're a football player. What led you to getting to wanting to be a football player as opposed to being a basketball player?
Yeah, I guess, you know, I always tell people I'm the weird one in the family because everybody went to play basketball. And it was just one of those things. It's kind of funny, you know, looking back, like you around your friends growing up and stuff like that. And I always just thought, you know, growing up in my family was such big basketball that I would go play college basketball. It's just what I assumed. And then it was just one of those things where I got recruited more for football. It's kind of a weird background because at that time, my parents lived in Colorado, but I stayed back in Pennsylvania to finish high school. My dad was coaching at the University of Colorado. So I was with my friends a lot. They were big football guys. I had a good, you know, senior year with football and just more schools called for football. And, you know, St. Francis one as a place, you know, with my background and my dad coaching there basketball, I never thought I'd end up at St. Francis, but, you know, through some connections, they called and talked to it. And I'm really glad that I did because I had a great experience and I got to play. Coach V, who's now the head coach here, was my offensive coordinator my sophomore year. And then my head coach, the junior, senior year, and you can see how he's built the program and just the memories I have of playing football here at St. Francis and the experience was just, and the friendships and relationships is something really good and a different perspective and something that I love and I really cherish.
Well, you could probably say you're the best football player in the McConnell family, right?
Oh yeah, I definitely though. So like even in like the immediate family, like, you know, my brother Sean's probably the best shooter, you know, Tommy was, you know, a great point guard, but I'm going to take best football player. I'm going to take the strongest. I'm going to take the toughest. I'm going to, you know, I'm going to take that grit, you know, that stuff. So I'll take that for sure.
Yeah. I mean, hey, every family needs that one grit guy. And I think you're that grit guy. You know, that's the important thing of it.
Absolutely.
Now, what was it like seeing St. Francis Athletics from a different vantage point, right? You're growing up and you're around the basketball program. And I'm sure you were probably accustomed to seeing other athletic teams at, you know, in the athletic department growing up doing well and whatnot. But what was it like to kind of be immersed on the different side of things with a different team, with just how St. Francis football operates as opposed to St. Francis basketball?
You know, there's a couple of things, and I had such a unique experience because I grew up around basketball. So I saw my dad with, and I saw how basketball programs are run and all the different coaching and how different programs are run. And then the unique thing about not only did I play football at St. Francis, but my side job to earn a little bit of money, extra money on the side was I worked in the athletic department under Bob Krimmel and Margie McHenry. And they were kind of, so not only did I see, I feel like I love, and I think it's been such a good thing for my coaching career, of how football coaches handle certain things and how they teach and how they implement. And I think it's a unique thing that I've been able to take and try to use in my own coaching, but then also from a different perspective of, I saw behind the scenes of an athletic department under Bob Krimmel and Margie McHenry and showed how hard they worked and the respect that they earned and they showed and then love and the passion that they had for St. Francis is something that really rubbed off on me. And probably why I'm working in athletics is because of that experience with Margie and Mr. Krimmel. And I love that time working with them. That was such a good side job. And to be able to see how they did different things was really, really influential on me.
So I know then you eventually get into coaching, and I'm sure, you know, with the background that you have in your family, with the amount of coaching that is involved, I'm sure that was probably a no-brainer for you. But why didn't you want to go into football coaching since your background as a player? I mean, what led you to going in basketball coaching?
Yeah, it's kind of a crazy story. So I was coming out. I knew I wanted to be working athletics. I actually didn't really think about coaching. And then the opportunity arose. I was getting ready to, was about to be offered a position to coach football at Frostburg State as a GA. And that position was Coach Rogish was down there. And I was getting ready to go down. And right before I was going to take the interview and we had, was talking to him, Mr. Krimmel called me and was like, hey, I just had a GA opening just in the main athletic office. Would you be interested? And I had such a good experience working with him. It was closer to home. At that point, I was done playing football, and I was like, I don't know if I want to coach, but I would like to stay in athletics. So I was like, yeah, let me get my master's. Let me do the GA. And then halfway through that year, at that time, Coach Krimmel, is his first year as a men's basketball coach. His GA left halfway through the year, just had something come up. And I was loving what I was doing, but I was like, man, it was like the director of basketball operations, but as a GA. And I was like, I think I could be good at this. I would love to be back in basketball. Like, I love my experience with football, but man, you always miss basketball. I always miss being a part of it and being on the court and something like that. And it just so happened that we talked, and I remember we had the conversation. I actually still have the voicemail from him, him calling me, not kind of offering me the job, but like, hey, I'd like to talk to you. And from there I became the GA, which was like the operations. And halfway through that year, he was like, hey, I think you're doing a good job. I'd like to make this full time if you'd like to stick around and do this full time. And I was like, absolutely. I love this. So it was one of those things where I wanted to work in athletics. And as soon as I started doing this and working for Coach Krimmel, it clicked. And I was like, this is what I love. This is my passion. I can see myself doing this for a very long time. So a GA turned into full-time ops, and then ops, you know, worked for him and learned so much. And then that turned into, I didn't know if I would coach, and people are like, man, you should, you know, some people were really influential on me. Like, you should coach, try to get on that side. And, was just lucky enough to work my way up and become an assistant coach. And I feel very grateful, and feel very blessed to be here working for Coach Krimmel and on this staff.
Well, I think what is so wonderful about the St. Francis basketball program is that it's the perfect description of a full circle moment. So for everyone at home, I have to kind of walk this through. Your dad, Tom, was the head coach at St. Francis. He coached the now head coach, Rob Krimmel, because Rob Krimmel was a player at St. Francis. So when Rob Krimmel offers you that job, right, and I'm sure that probably was like a, your eyes got bigger than anything that probably could, you could imagine. So what did it mean for you to have that moment where somebody that you watched playing as a kid and had a very close relationship with your dad is now offering you a job to work with him?
I still have to like pinch myself times that, like, I guess you could say like peers or whatever, like he's in charge of me and everything like that. Cause as a little kid, you know, 7, 8 years old, watching them play, looking up to me, cause not only was Coach Krimmel, Rob, a player, but E.T. Eric Taylor, one of the assistants on staff, was a player here as well. And I was a little kid, and E.T. was a big, strong, I mean, he led the country in rebounding, like, big guy. And I was so little, he would just pick me up with his arm and like throw me around. And I remember those guys coming down to the house. My dad would always have the team down to the house, and it was like the best time ever. You like look forward to when the team came down, this little kid growing up to them. So to be here and working side by side, and the way he's treated me. And one of the best things about Coach Krimmel is that he believes in his players, he believes in his staffs, and he gives you the freedom to learn and grow and, you know, make mistakes, and he trusts you. And it's just been an unbelievable experience. I still can't believe it. I remember my first week, I think I could tell the story, but that first week E.T. invited me over to his apartment, and our one assistant, Joey Goodson, and like, you know, we're all older and we're just hanging out, and I'm, you know, having a beer with E.T., the guy that I looked up to. And I was just like, I remember texting my dad at first. I was like, Dad, you're never going to believe this. I just hanging out with E.T. Like, I never thought I would be in this situation. And to call them, you know, the mentors they've been, and now peers and friends, has been, it's been awesome.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think that, again, I think the term full circle moment is a great way of kind of describing it. Cause I mean, There's no other unique case like that in the country. I really don't think that. I mean, maybe there is, but I don't believe it. I don't believe it. But with your dad's coaching background and how long he's been a coach, I'm sure he was very influential for you, you know, early on as well when you were younger. So what are some things that he taught you just about the coaching world and the whole job as a coach that you apply today in your coaching career?
You know, it's crazy because just growing up, and, you know, I kind of tell people, like, you know, you want to coach, but you know what, you want to be your own person. But I kind of just, he did such a good job, and you could see the impact he made on people. And the X's and O's is really fun, and I love it. I watch film all day. I love the player development, but the relationships and the lessons you can teach through this game, you know, he always said, and, you know, like, if he wasn't in coaching, he'd probably be a teacher, you know what I mean? And the impact teachers can make and coaches can make. And you just hope you can build those relationships. And you know, he's been very, very successful, and, you know, especially what he's done with IEP, and I've been really happy for him that. But I just, like, the coolest thing ever is, like, anytime I run into somebody, they have a story of something he said, or maybe he reached them and that they remembered, and just the way he treated people and believed in and brought those teams together, and the way you can impact people. Yeah, basketball is kind of what it's through, but it's the relationships and the impact you can make on people for the rest of your life. And that's just something that is so meaningful, and, like, to be able to do that and coach basketball and have that impact, hopefully, and do that is something that I feel very lucky to do. And, you know, very, very lucky.
And I think on top of that, you know, you get to have a lifelong teacher that is your dad, right? I mean, you get a 2-in-1 that not many people get to have. You know, they can say my dad is also a great coach, but he's also my dad. So you kind of have that little added aspect on top of it. Now, I do want to kind of go back in time when you were a kid around the Red Flash program. Are there any fun stories that you have just being around practice when you were a kid, just being around the program and being around practice?
Yeah, I think, I mean, you might, when you talk to Rob and E.T., they might have stories. I was probably an idiot running around. But the big thing is, like, me and my brothers, especially, like, during games, like, we would watch the games, but there's, like, an auxiliary gym, and we'd be running around the bench and, like, running around the gym. You're supposed to be in your seats watching the game, and we'd be playing in the aux gym, and there's this big red pad for, like, jumpers, and we'd be jumping on that and just, like, getting into stuff we shouldn't be getting into. And Pat Foulstecker was a longtime facilities guy. He's a great guy. He would always be coming to the gym, bus us, and he'd be like, you kids get out of the gym. He's like, I don't care who your dad is, like, get out of here. And you know, just kicking us out and always get into mischief and stuff like that. But I loved going to the practices. We loved when the team would come down. Like, that stuff was so influential on me to have those guys come down and take the time as a young kid, like, wow, Rob Krimmel, Eric Taylor, Tom Fox, Jamal Raglan, you know, guys like that to, you know, ask me how school's going. And, you know, to have a Division I basketball team in your backyard, we had a big field in our backyard playing football and two-hand touch with those guys, or playing, you know, knockout in the driveway. You know, that's stuff that really stuck with me. And, you know, if you can do that and build those memories and those relationships, it's just, it was really special.
Now, do you ever see Coach Krimmel pull out some practice ideas that are, you know, from back in his playing day?
Yeah, he'll do something, and he'll lean over to me, and he'll be like, that was from your dad. Like, maybe like a drill, or like, we did like a screen to screen interaction, you know, something the other day. And, but I mean, so much from what I give or I say practice is from my dad, cause he's been so influential on me. So yeah, there's some things, and even Coach Helton, who's on the staff, worked for my dad too. So, yeah, there's been, you know, a couple times here and there. It's kind of cool to see that.
Well, I know that you've seen probably a considerable amount of change around the program. Same with Coach Krimmel, same with Coach Taylor. How have you seen this program grow from when you were a kid to when you're a football player at St. Francis and now as a coach? I mean, how have you seen this program just kind of continue to grow and excel over the years?
Yeah, I think just being a part of it and seeing the relationships and see what Coach Krimmel has done. And, you know, my Pat Perry always had a phrase that always stuck with me. And it was kind of like, especially in the time where people are kind of jumping and going places, he always said, you either change where you live or you change where you live, you know, kind of meaning like, are you going to change your address? Are you going to move? Are you going to put your roots down somewhere? Are you going to make a change in the place you want to see? If you want to see something change, be that change. And to see Coach Krimmel, you know, grow and the people he's brought in and recruit and, the staff that we have together, and just try to, it's more than just basketball, but the athletic department, to see it grow from in the investment into, you know, Division I athletics been here has been really cool. You see, like, I just had a bunch of friends come up for homecoming last weekend, and they, you know, some hadn't been back for a while to see different buildings go up or see the athletics. And, you know, now there's a basketball performance center and right next to the gym and stuff like that. Just really cool stuff that we never would have dreamed of as players. You know, I got 2 pairs of shirts and 2 pairs of shorts when I was here, and I was very thankful for it, and to see that grow. And now we're the whole athletic department's an Under Armour program, and the high level that we keep reaching, and you know, it's just been pretty cool to see.
Yeah. And to be a part of that growth too. I mean, I'm sure that you literally get to be inside of all that growth and see it go up and up and up. But I know that you guys have a big season ahead of you all. I want to hear just kind of your thoughts on what your outlook is this year, and just what do you think this team is really capable of accomplishing this season?
Yeah, I think for us, it's just you know, kind of getting better each day, trying to put the best product, trying to win that day and get better each day. Because obviously for us, you know, the best is, are we playing our best basketball January, February? And then obviously the ultimate goal for us is win 3 games in March and go to the NCAA tournament. So that process of getting better each day and competing has been really, really a big focus for us. We have a lot of talented players, and competing each day and bringing out the best of each other, I think, is going to be really important in our identity, or, you know, trying to be the toughest team on the floor, the most together team on the floor, sharing the basketball. So it's been fun to see different combinations, different guys play together, who's playing well together, and see that growth and keep working. So, you know, that's my hope, is we can keep progressing and growing throughout this year.
Well, I know that you have your home opener on, I believe, November 12th for the Jack Phelan Classic. And I'm sure that a lot of guys are very excited for that, because not only is it the home opener, but you guys get some fans back in the stands. How excited are the guys to just not only be at home for that, but also to play in front of a home crowd?
I think they're really, really excited, because especially our older guys, they lived through that year where there wasn't any fans. And then last year was still kind of like with restrictions and certain things, and maybe some people weren't traveling. So it feels like this is the first year where it's going to be rocking and rolling. And for our home opener to be the Jack Phelan Classic is going to be really cool. Cause if you want to talk about like someone who embodied the St. Francis experience, like we talk about, you know, we want this to be the best 4 years of your life up to this point. And then we want you to build and grow. And hopefully that next 4 years is the next best 4 years. The next 4 years is better. And then I think no one better than Jack Phelan, who, it was pretty cool last year. It was at Hartford, and we won at Hartford for the first Jack Phelan Classic. To hear the stories, his old teammates came back, told stories of the impact he had when he was a player. But then Coach Gallagher at Hartford told the stories of the impact he had on him. When, you know, you talk about, you know, building your community and making a difference in your community, and what he did up in Hartford and the impact he had. And, you know, that's what we want out of our players, to have an impact and in your environment and where you go. And so to see that, what he did on the court, but especially off the court, is a really cool way to honor him. And then that day, I think there's a football rivalry game versus Duquesne at noon, basketball game at 7. Like, I think Loretto is going to be rocking that day, and I can't wait to get out there in front of our fans. And I think we have a fun product to put out on the floor, guys that love playing together and play hard and play together. So I can't wait for people to see that. I think it's going to be a really fun day.
Yeah, without a doubt. And again, all that excitement just around campus and the athletic department, it sounds like it's going to be a great day to be a Red Flash. But I want to just touch on one little thing, because we didn't really touch on it much, but I'd love to hear your input on it, just the COVID year, right? And the kind of the point of view of being a coach for that, and then how you guys have been able to come out of that and get back into normalcy a little bit. What was it like as a coach getting guys excited, ready for games, with that uncertainty of not knowing whether or not you're going to have to play? But then now you get to change back to, hey, we've got games, nothing's going to happen, nothing's going to get canceled, we have to stay, you know, focused on the task at hand.
Yeah, I think it, you know, you try not to, and you try not to take anything for granted, but sometimes you have to go through those crazy times to, I think, guys really appreciate what they have and the ability to play basketball. Like, I'll never take a practice for granted, or a game, or being with family and friends again because of that experience. And, you know, trying to, you know, basketball is sometimes the last thing in our mind with some of the things going on. Like, we're getting tested all the time. You don't know who's going to show up for practice, who can, and then they're going to be separated and different things like that. So the community aspect of what makes this place special, what makes college sports athletics and that team, like, you really got guys were told, you know, you can't be together and stuff like that. So being in the locker room together, sharing that floor together, sharing those bus rides together, you know, conference room, hotels, like stuff that maybe one time you're like, those bus trips, maybe you took for granted. I'll never take for granted. That stuff is so special. That's where memories are made. That's where chemistry is born. And so tough times, you know what I mean? But came out of it better. And I think we came out of it as better coaches and better players and, you know, more humble because of it and grateful because of that.
Yeah, grateful, I think, is a word that a lot of people have used coming out of that period of time and whatnot. But I'm sure that everybody, and including yourself, is very excited for some college basketball ahead. Because again, I mean, hey, as we're recording this, we're about a week away from your home opener. So a lot of exciting stuff around the program. But Coach, you've been great to get on the show today. Before I let you go, one last little question. It involves kind of a realization or an epiphany, if you will, as to when you realized that you could be a coach at the collegiate level, but also be a Division I coach. So for you, when did that kind of go off in your head and you said, hey, I could be a collegiate coach at the Division I level?
Like I mentioned earlier, like I wasn't really thinking coaching, and then I was doing the ops thing and obviously a former football player. And I had people be like, hey man, you should like get into coaching, like get on the coaching side. The operation side is great, but like get in coaching. And, you know, I was kind of, you know, I learned, I had so many great guys from Coach Krimmel, Coach T, Coach Helton, Coach Goodson, Coach Holland, who's at Mount St. Mary's, and different guy. Coach Summy was a major influence on me and a big supporter of to me as well to get into coaching. And, you know, I was like, I would love to, like, you know. And I remember, this is going to sound silly, but have you ever seen the movie My Cousin Vinny?
I've heard of it. I've seen clips of it. I've never seen the whole thing.
So there's like, it's Joe Pesci. He's a lawyer, and he's like a mechanic, but he's also a lawyer. He's got to get his cousin off this wrongfully charged for murder. His girlfriend is Mona Lisa Vito. She's this out of work hairdresser, but she grew up in this mechanic shop. So the case depends on this car, tread tires, and they need an expert witness who knows about cars. Well, it's not her title. She was not a mechanic, but she grew up in a mechanic, and they bring her on stand. Like, why do you think you could be an expert witness? It's a really great scene. I would recommend anybody to go watch it. You know, she's like, I'm not an expert. You're like, well, why are you up here? She's like, well, you know, I've worked in a shop. I've done this. And they're like, well, like my father's a mechanic. My father's father's a mechanic. My mother's father's a mechanic. And she gives like this great, and they ask her a question. She knocks it out of the park, and she like wins the case for them. And it's a really, really cool scene. And it's like one of my favorite movies. Me and my dad love that movie. And I just remember watching that and being like, can I coach like former football player? You know, are people going to, you know, that's different. You know, people don't normally do that. And I watched that scene, and I was kind of like the Mona Lisa Vito was like, you know, hey, my dad's a coach. My mom's dad is a coach. My uncle's a coach. My aunt Susie's a coach. They play basketball. Like I grew up with this education, this experience where at birthday parties, we're hanging out and people are writing up plays on napkins, and we're talking around the dinner table, and we're talking about, you know, a zone quick hitter or something like that at a party. And I grew up with it, and I feel very lucky and blessed and fortunate. And so it was kind of like at that I was like, and the confidence I got from Coach Krimmel and the belief in different people, I was like, yeah, I can do this. I think I can be good. And I have this unique experience of football and all these different things. So I don't know if it was one moment, but that always stuck out with me. And Mona Lisa Vito from My Cousin Vinny was always a Marissa Tomei was a character. She's phenomenal. It's just kind of like, yeah, I can do this. So that was kind of like a little moment I had, you know, to confidence boost, I guess you could say, that I could do this. But
well, hey, listen, I don't think that there's many people that can be a collegiate football player and then become a collegiate basketball player and then be the best football player in the McConnell family all on top of that. So you're checking a lot of boxes there, Coach. So that's very cool. That's very cool stuff.
But just very, very lucky, very grateful. So doesn't take much to be the best football player. I know I'm the only one who played, so that's 1-on-1 right there. So,
well, hey, you went and played Division I though. You kept that trend going, my friend. So that is a pat on the back in your favor, my friend. But again, Coach, really appreciate your time today. Thanks so much for joining. Good luck this season. Good luck in a week against the Bonnies, and excited to catch some Red Flash basketball this year.
Hey, thank you again for having us. And I appreciate the interview and covering the St. Francis Athletics. I think listen to a lot of your interviews and everything like that. And now you do a fantastic job. So, hey, thanks for having me on. And I had fun doing this. So appreciate it very much.
And there he goes, Coach Luke McConnell. Another amazing episode today, everyone. Thanks for joining me here on the bench. Be sure to keep following and subscribing to Ride in the Pine on Apple and Spotify, and keep following on Twitter at RideThePine20, RTP all capital, Instagram at Riding_the_pine_ all lowercase, and on TikTok at RideInThePine all lowercase for all of the latest updates on episodes and content to come. All 265 episodes are out now. Keep leaving those ratings and reviews, and again, folks, keep your eyes and ears open for some more fantastic guests coming out down the road here on RTP. But once again, everyone, thanks so much for joining me here today. And until next time on Ride of the Pine, keep on sitting the bench with me.